to 7 through verse 9. So once you get there, let's all stand. We'll read, we'll pray, and we'll see what the Lord has for supper tonight. That's 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verses 7 through verse number 9. Of course, this is Peter, and Peter gets a bad rap a lot of times, but Peter was somebody that God used tremendously, amen? And to me, it reminds us of me, of us a lot of times. Nonetheless, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." The Bible says, "For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing," watch this, "vexed his righteous soul from day to day." That word "vex" here means also to torture. I want to talk tonight very briefly, this little thought. Are you torturing yourself? Are you torturing yourself? Father, I pray tonight for your help. I pray, God, for your guidance. I pray, God, for a fresh anointing, a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, just clean my heart, my mind, and let there be nothing between you and I that will hinder you from using my vessel tonight. I pray, God, you guide my speech and my actions and all that I say and all that I do. And with that, Father, I'll shout hallelujah. I pray, God, that you help us tonight to realize that there's some things in our lives that we don't have to have there. It don't have to be there. We're only torturing ourselves. Now, I pray, God, as we go through the message, I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit will speak to us individually as well as collectively. And I pray, God, you'd show us what to do, how to do it, and then give us, God, the strength and the confidence to do it. And then watch you, Father, send the victory. And for that, Father, we'll shout hallelujah. God bless all those who are watching the services and those who will be watching later. God bless them and meet their needs as well. And then, God, if there's anyone here tonight that's not saved, but born again or watching, I pray, God, that tonight they receive Jesus as Lord, Savior, and King. God, help somebody. God, help us with your presence. God, if there's anything else I've left out, please, sir, meet that need too. For it's in your son's name we pray. Not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Maybe see him. Are you torturing yourself? That is a question I believe that each of us need to ask ourselves. Because I also believe that each of us have certain things in our lives that don't have to be there. There's some things you've got to deal with, but there's some things you and I don't have to deal with. But yet they're there and they're torturing us day by day. And that's exactly what we're about to see here in a few moments about a man named Lot. We've all heard about Lot. We've read about Lot. But Lot was a person, my friends, who was torturing himself every single day because of where he lived. But by the way, he didn't have to live there. He chose to live where he lived. And because of that, he was torturing himself day by day. Now, we set the foundation. The first thing we see is that Lot, probably shocking to some of us, was a righteous man. Now, I didn't say that. The Bible said it. And the Bible is the word of God. And the Bible says, in verse number 8, the Bible says, "For that what? Righteous man." Who? Talking about Lot, verse 7. "And delivered just Lot." That word "just" also means righteous. The Bible says, "And delivered just Lot, righteous Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them." Here was a man named Lot, who the Bible says was a righteous man, but yet he was a man that was torturing himself day by day. Lot was a person who was a believer and the true and living God. But yet Lot made some bad decisions and some bad choices. You and I who are saved by the grace of God, who are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are times in our lives when you and I will make some decisions that are not right. We'll make some decisions based on certain things. As we read in Genesis, we find that when Lot made the decision to live where he lived at, he based it on financial gain. It was a financial decision. And sometimes you and I will make decisions based on finance. And man, what a great testimony you gave tonight that goes right on with this message. When she prayed, she asked God to give her a job that she can work from 9 to 2:30 so she'd be able to take her children to school and then pick them up. She puts in the applications, and then the lady calls her, and she talks to her and says, we want you to come in from 8:30 to what? 8:20 to 5:20. Guess what? That knocks out both of those on both ends. No dropping off at school, no picking up. But she said, I didn't sell. I told her, no, I can't do it. Then the lady calls back, I guess a couple days later.
Three times in one day.
And said, you know what? We'll be able to do that from 8:20 to 2:30. I'm sorry, 9 what? That's shouting ground. How many of y'all like to have a job? Say, what time you want to start? What time you want to leave? You be like, woo, praise God. Amen. Listen, my dear friends. But now she could have said, you know what? I'll just go ahead and take the job anyway. You know, and then she could reason it out. Well, you know what? Actually, it's more hours, which means what? More money. So we'll be able to do perhaps this or perhaps be able to do that. But, my friends, she's been making that decision based on a financial decision and not one that's based on the Father's decision. And you and I, my friends, will make decisions. But if we make the wrong decision, we need to be the children of God enough to say, you know what? That's the wrong road I took. I got to back up and get this thing back on track. The Bible says that he was a righteous man. But yet he was a righteous man. He was a surrounded man. Look, the Bible says back in verse number 8 of chapter number 2 of 2 Peter. The Bible says, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, the Bible says, vexed his righteous soul. And that word again means to be vexed, means to be tortured, but it also means to toss, to pain, to torment, to toil. Wow. In other words, my dear friends, here he is. He's surrounded, my friends, and the Bible says he's vexed, he's tortured, he's tossed, he's pained, he's in torment, he's toiling. What? His righteous soul. That's what your feelings and emotions, look at this word up here, is dealing with. But the Bible says he was surrounded by it. How was he surrounded? First of all, the Bible says in verse 8, in seeing. Looking. He was looking at all this mess that was going on. He saw it day after day. He saw it. And not only did he see it, but then the Bible says, secondly, he heard it. Every day he was hearing it. Day after day, he's hearing it. One day, next day, the next day, the next day. The Bible says he sees it. He's hearing it. He is what? Surrounded by it. What, laughter? Holy Ghost times? The Bible tells us, my friends, the Bible says it was because of their everyday unlawful deeds. He was surrounded man. He was a tortured man. The Bible says in verse number 8, he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The word unlawful means wicked. It also means not only a wicked, but it also means the word deeds means act or work. So it was a wicked actions, a wicked work that they was doing. And he was seeing this and hearing this. Back up to verse number 7. The Bible says, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Now, that word filthy here means lasciviousness. It means unbridled lust. It's lust that's out of control. The Bible says conversation, which means behavior. The Bible says the behavior or this lasciviousness of the wicked. That word wicked here means one, my friends, who breaks the law and gratifies his lust. The Bible says that Lot was vexing himself. That word vexed here in verse 7 is different for the one than verse number 8. Verse number 7 means this. It means to tire down or to be exhausted. Wow. He was wore out from seeing and hearing all the wicked things that they were doing. Lust that was out of control, lasciviousness, behavior that was not lawful, that was against God's law. And this was affecting him day by day by day. He was torturing himself. He was vexing himself. So, preacher, what's that got to do with me? I ain't Lot. I ain't in Sodom. I'm not in Gomorrah. Hold on. What about some of your, not my y'all, but them other folks' associations? Certain folks we hang out with, their mouth is just awful. It's terrible. And what happens, my friends, is we'll hear it day after day after day after day, and all of a sudden, if we're not careful, we'll get numb to it. And if we're not careful, we'll start saying some of the same things. We'll start thinking some of the same ways. Well, it ain't all that bad, you know. I know that marijuana is legal, is illegal in certain places, but, you know, some places not as legal. You know, and I mean, I don't think I've ever heard of anybody having a drug overdose on marijuana. I mean, it's probably not that bad. I mean, it just calms folks down. It's just making people just relax. I mean, it's not. I mean, what's wrong with a little, you know, a little herb here and there? Matter of fact, you know, the Bible does say that God made the herbs. Y'all ever heard that foolishness? I mean, folks, God wants you. God made it. God wants you. Yeah. He also made deadly poisonous snakes. You want you to go play with those? Get bit? I mean, you start listing stuff that's out there. I mean, poison things are out here, my friends. You wouldn't say, let's go mess with that kind of stuff. Trying to justify us getting high. But if you're around that, you hear it all the time, you get numb to that. Or, for example, my friends, folks who have sex outside of marriage. I mean, after a while, you see it on TV all the time. Yeah. You know, I have to admit, there's some shows I've watched, and I didn't even think about it. You know, I used to love to watch Frasier. I mean, he used to crack me up, him and his brother Niles, crack me up. Then one day after that, I said, you know what? They sleep around with everybody. Everybody chasing everybody, from Ross to this one to that one to that one. I'm like, oh, my goodness. But, you know, we kind of, you know, block that out. And it's like, oh, man, that Frasier, he's crazy. And Niles, you know, they just always, so, you know, they also all this kind of stuff, you know. And the list goes on. You think about some of the shows that you watch. After a while, you watch, you don't think nothing about it. What's the big deal about it, you know? Somebody said, well, I love that person. Next thing you know, they laying with them. And that's you know, it's just, you know, I mean, we get numb to it. And here you have Lot. He's in a situation. But in his case, he don't have to be there. And in some of our cases, we don't have to be there. There's certain friends that you and I have, certain relatives that you and I have, we don't have to hang around with. We don't have to be involved in that kind of stuff. But a lot of times, say, well, I don't want them to think I'm better than them and all this kind of stuff, you know. And what you're wind up doing is vexing your soul day after day after day after day. The Bible says, and verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed, exhausted, just wore out with the filthy conversation of the wicked, lasciviousness, unbridled lust, out of control. The Bible says in verse number 8, their unlawful deeds, wicked actions, wicked work. He was tortured, beat up. What's got you beat up? I know some of the jobs you have, you can't help but the people you work with, you can't stop. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about outside the work. I'm talking about inside the house. What things are we dealing with that we don't have to? But hallelujah, the Bible says not only was he a righteous man, a surrounded man, a tortured man, but he was also, he became a delivered man. The Bible said in verse number 7, and delivered just Lot. Lot got rescued. But do you know how Lot got rescued? They had to drag him out. Look what the Bible says in Genesis, chapter number 19 and verse 16. Genesis 19 and look at verse number 16. Look what the Bible says. Genesis 19 and verse number 16. The Bible says this in verse number 16. And we know the story about how the angels came to Abraham and told him about they're going to destroy and all this kind of stuff. And then he said, wait a minute, if there were so many here, so many there. Well, finally, they go down there to get Lot. And the Bible said in verse 15, look at verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife, my two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And the Bible says, and while he what? Lingered. The men did what? Laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. The Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Picked him up and put him out the city. He's hanging in there. But he got delivered. God drug him out. Dragged him out. Had to drag out his wife. Had to drag out his two daughters. And you know what happened? As they began to go, he said, don't look back. His wife turns back, and she turns to a pillar of salt. And then the Bible says that once he gets up into the mountains, they go to the city, then he goes up to the mountains. And then his two daughters, they sleep with him. They commit incest. And then what happens is their two children that come from their dad, those wind up being enemies of Israel. What are you saying, preacher? The decision that he made to go to Sodom and Gomorrah affected his wife, affected his daughters, and affected his grandchildren. Think about what I'm saying. Those two daughters who had those children, those were the enemies of Israel, my friends, all the way through. That means all of Lot's grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, his great-great-grandchildren, and the list goes on, all of them were enemies to the people of God. But remember now, Lot was righteous. But he didn't pass it down to his family. Why? Because he was a decision man as well. Look what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 11. Genesis 13, verse 11. I'm doing all this to set a stage here in a second. The Bible says in Genesis 13, verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, the Bible says, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Why did he choose this place? Back up in verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan that was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zorah. What a beautiful place. He made a decision. He was a decision man. He chose to go to Lot, to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. He pitched his tent toward it. The next time we see him, he's inside of it. He got close. Then he wound up being in. And it affected his whole entire family. And on top of that, my friends, think about this. He was torturing his own self. Every day, day by day, he's torturing himself, seeing these things, hearing these things, and then seeing what's happened to his family, his wife, his daughters, and now what's going on with his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren. All this stuff was messed up because of a decision that Lot made. A financial decision. Man, this place, this would be a good place for us to have our stuff. Our stuff can be fed and be taken care of. Listen, let's not make it a financial decision not based upon what God would have for us to do. Lord, what do you want me to do? But it's $39 an hour with benefits. Oh, you see, 39. This is right after $40 an hour. If it's $40 an hour, Now, if I just work 8 hours, that's $160. Is that right? $320 a day. $320 times 5 days.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. $1,500 to $1,600 a week times 4 weeks. Woo-hoo! That's got to be the Lord. I mean, think about it. I can tithe so much too, and ooh, what a blessing, and help the Lord. And then I have this much left over, and then we can do this. Oh my goodness. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Did you pray yet? Well, I mean, you know, I mean, you don't have to pray about that. I mean, duh. That's just what? Common sense. But I don't want to know about common sense. I want to know about Christ's sense. Huh? There's a line with Christ's thinking. There's a line with Christ's word. What does it say about the word? Because if not, my friends, we'll wind up torturing ourselves when we don't have to. Here was Lot. He was torturing himself. He's torturing himself day by day, day by day. But he don't have to. And then on top of that, my friends, remember when he was in Sodom and the enemy came by there and took him into captivity? Abraham goes down there and he sets him free and brings him back. And what does he do? Right back to Sodom. He didn't have to go back to Sodom, but he went back. It was a choice. Nobody forced him to go. But because of that, he was torturing himself day by day by day. God said, I'm going to come deliver you because I've got deliverance. I know how to deliver you. Look what the Bible says back over 2 Peter, chapter number 2. We see this. The Lord dragged him out because the Lord knows how to get us out. Listen to what the Bible says in verse number 9 of 2 Peter chapter 2. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But he says that the Lord knoweth how to deliver, how to rescue the godly. The word godly here means also devout, those who are dutiful. You're following God. The Bible says he knows how to deliver them out of temptation, out of adversity, out of trial. God knows how to bring deliverance. God knows how to rescue. So in other words, my friends, we don't have to be tortured day by day by day. Our soul being tortured by what we see and what we hear, especially when we don't have to be there. Listen, I love all my relatives. I got, y'all have no idea how big our family is. It's humongous. I got one auntie that had 15 kids, okay? Now, those kids all have kids now, and they've got kids. So you're talking about a lot. That's just one. That's just one, okay? Now, my dad had, on his dad's side, how many was that, 10? 10, 11, 12, something like that. My dad has about over 20-something brothers and sisters all together, you know, at least. You know, then they all got kids, and some of them got a whole bunch of kids, and now they all got kids and all that kind of stuff. We got a large family. We do. We got a lot of them in church. We got a lot of them in jail, okay? I'm just being honest. We do, okay? Listen, I love my families, but there's some of them I'm not going to go hang out where they're hanging out. I'm just not going to. I know what's going on, man. I know what's going to happen. You know, and if I do go to a funeral or I go to a wedding or something, I know what time to leave. I know what time to leave. I mean, once I eat, for some places, it's time for me to go after I eat. And afterwards, all kinds of stuff start taking place. So I'm going to leave. I just, come on, y'all, let's go. Just slip on out of there. So I got to sleep on out of there. But so now we going to stay. And then you start vexing your soul in seeing and hearing. And all this stuff coming. They know people get a little liquor in them. You know what's going to happen. Come on now. Okay. Yeah. The next thing you know, somebody about to fight. Somebody about to get into it. Somebody should be looking at it and all that kind of stuff. You know, then once this stuff, people start going back in time when they were little. I don't know how many times we used to be at my uncle's house on the south side and we'd all be having a great time. It'd be Thanksgiving or Christmas or something. We're having a great time. We're little kids. We're having a great time. Then all of a sudden, the men be sitting around the table, and they all start getting into it. The next thing I know, I'll never forget one time. I'm not going to name names. I'll never forget one time one of my uncles, his brother left the house. He lived right around the corner. I don't know if you remember this or not. He went around the corner. He had a machine gun, I think he had, or something like that. He come back. My uncle, he grabbed his. He had all of them had the pistol. And so all the kids, we knew what to do. We all go to the basement. We all went down to the basement, you know. We all down there. And then my dad's up there. He's trying to break everybody up. People got guns. Talking about, you know, my gun bigger than your gun. I can shoot more and all this kind of stuff. And you know the mama like you more. She like me and daddy and all this kind of stuff. Oh, my. And it's always after they had, you know, they had a little bit more than they should. They should have had none at all. But it's even bad, worse. You know what? That's when I was a kid. I ain't had no choice. You know what I'm saying? If I come an adult, I don't have to. No. Liquor, I'm finna go. Let's go. I know everybody talked about me. Some, not everybody, but I know someone talked about me. He think he better than everybody. No, I don't think I'm better. I'm just trying to make sure that I don't put myself in an area that I don't need to be in. Because, I mean, especially back during them days when I was a little bit younger, and well, probably these days too, but still, when I'm a little bit younger, I mean, they get to acting up. I'm not going to be sitting there going, oh, okay. You know, I'm going to be whooping up on somebody. I mean, somebody, I'm just, y'all pray for me. I'm just saying, though, but that's why I don't put myself in that situation. I mean, if you know, don't put yourself there. Because, you know, you can rise up. I mean, they get to look at my wife and stuff. And, you know, they've been drinking. Yeah, exactly. I mean, somebody about to get hurt up in here. You know, so you shouldn't be, listen, hey, respect, brother, okay? All right, let's get back to the message. But anyway, see there? See, seeing and hearing. All of a sudden, I'm all jacked up. I want to grab someone and whoop somebody, go down the street. No, but you know what I'm trying to say, though. You can torture yourself when you don't have to. There's certain things in life we already got to deal with. Let's not add more stuff that don't even have to be there. When we have a choice, we can make a decision to not go into that area, not go into that place, not hang out with those people, not because we're trying to be better than them, but we're trying to make sure we don't fall into the traps that the enemy already has them involved in. We have to make those decisions. So we see, my friends, he was a righteous man, surrendered man, a tortured man. He became a delivered man, and he was a decision man. And his decision affected his wife, his daughter, his daughters, his grandchildren. Every decision that you and I make will have an effect on somebody. Let's make sure we're making the right decisions. And if we make the wrong decision, let's get out of that. Let's not stay there and be tortured. I got three questions. We're done. First question is this. Are you torturing yourself? Are you torturing yourself unnecessarily? The second question is this. How is it affecting you and your family? How is it affecting you and your family? Third question is this. Will you follow the Lord's direction for deliverance? Because remember, the Bible says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. God knows how to get you out, but you got to follow his directions. If that's the case, let's come talk to him tonight. Say, Lord, help me to know what to do, how to do it, and give me the courage to do it as well as the faith. Father, thank you for giving me more for blessings. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your kindness, your mercy, and yes, sir, your amazing grace. And I just pray, God, tonight that you'd help all of us, myself included, not to put ourselves in certain places and situations. Lord, that we don't really have to. We don't have to be in that situation. We have a choice. So, Father, I pray, God, you'd help us, Lord, to make the right choices so we won't be torturing our soul. We won't be beating up our soul, having it in pain and misery because of what we're seeing and what we're hearing when we don't have to. I pray, God, you'd give us wisdom, Father, to make the right decision, because our decision will affect our families as well as ourselves. Perhaps, God, there's some folks that are here tonight that want to come and say, thank you, Lord, for helping me to make the right decision. Or perhaps, God, there's somebody that wants to come and say, Lord, help me to get out of a decision I made that really wasn't a good one. So I need to get out of this thing, Lord. So give me some direction. Give me some guidance. I pray, God, they would come. Or perhaps, God, there's somebody that wants to come and pray and say, Lord, help me in the future to make the right decisions and not the wrong ones so that I will have the right effect on my family. And for that, Father, we'll thank you too. Lord, whatever the needs are tonight, maybe it had nothing to do with this message whatsoever, but there's some folks that want to come and talk to you. Maybe somebody wants to come pray for somebody that they love and care for. And that friend of theirs, that loved one of theirs, they're trapped in a situation. They're being tortured. Lord, their soul is being tortured because of some decisions they made. And they want to pray for deliverance for that person. I pray, God, they'd come. Lord, whatever the needs are, help us respond. There's somebody here tonight that needs to be saved. I pray they let me know, or someone else, and we'll show them from the Word of God how to be born again. Or whatever else they need, God, I pray they come. What's your son's name we pray? Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Perhaps you